Acts chapter 5 verse 20. Give me the NKJV. I hear the Lord say NKJV. This is an experience that Peter had. He had been taken to prison. And after he was taken to prison, an angel appears to release him and tells him these words. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Amen. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Many people don't really know that there's a difference between just preaching and sharing. There's a difference. To share actually means that if I have a piece of cake and I take a part and I give it to you, I've shared from what I have. So it's possible for a preacher not to share because he doesn't have. And so that's why it's always important that a person is taken through an encounter or an experience so that when they preach or they minister, they are actually sharing, not just preaching, because you can just preach. But the context of this scripture, the angel appears to him and says, go and speak. In essence, what he's saying is go and share the words of this life, because he has just been in prison and an angel has just released him from prison. He says, go and share the words of this life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, there are a number of doctrines mentioned in the Bible. There is the doctrines of men. Doctrines of men mentioned in the Bible. It's important I say that before Adam sinned, please listen to me, very important. Before Adam sinned, there was only one life and one doctrine, the doctrine of God, and ultimately Christ. Before he sinned. When Adam fell, two other forms of doctrine formed. The doctrine of men that we call tradition, Colossians 2:22, and then the doctrine of demons, mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Eh? So two forms of doctrine away from the doctrine of God, which in the New Testament is referred to in Hebrews chapter 6 as the doctrine of Christ. Okay? And I'll get to that. The doctrine of men means that men initially took what was spiritual and made it natural and made it a tradition and took the spirit that actually added life to it and removed it. Okay? The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. All right? Now, let me give you an example of that. Because men can actually go to scripture, okay, and kill a scripture. They kill it. They suck the life out of it and they take it just from the natural perception. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Just for a quick example. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. From the natural perspective, you read that scripture, what it means is that you shouldn't want things. Right? You shouldn't want things. So someone quotes that scripture and says, if you want a car, you want a good house, you're becoming too money-minded and you're covetous, in a sense. That's not what that scripture means. Because from the perception of the Spirit, he has given us all things pertaining to. Are you with me? So you have everything. And what he's saying is, stop desiring as if you don't have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, dear Lord. You can suck the life out of a scripture and you don't know. So the perception here, these are the words of life, that you start from a place of I have. The moment you know I have, you won't look at someone and start saying, I wish I had what that one had. Okay? Yeah. Doctrines of men have sucked life out of scripture. Then there are doctrines of demons. The doctrines of demons are different from the doctrines of men because the doctrines of demons, like the doctrine of Christ, is spiritual. The doctrine of men is totally tradition, has no spirit in it, apart from the spirit of religion. But the doctrines of demons and the doctrine of Christ are both spirit. Although men are used in the conduct of it and the expression of it. Most people don't know, and I'm just going to touch this briefly. Most people don't know that the demonic is categorized into three: witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. You just hear the words, you think they're the same thing. They're not. Should I leave that one? Okay? Witchcraft is the power angle of the doctrine of demons. Divination is the knowledge angle, and sorcery is the wisdom angle. So, for example, if I want to know why my family is not getting money, why everyone dies at a particular age, when I go to a witch doctor, what I'm looking for is divination, knowledge. Okay? You get me? Praise the Lord. So the demonic has, the doctrines of demons have those aspects, and there's no need for you to know that. Now, what is important, you know that the strategy of the enemy has always been to corrupt what is of God and make it look like it's null and void. One of the most powerful miracles in the Bible is the miracle of the virgin birth. One of the most powerful. And you think it's just about a virgin giving birth, but there's so much more to it that I won't share today. So much more to it. It's a very powerful miracle of a virgin giving birth. And when you see in the Bible something, it is a principle that can be reapplied. So what I'm saying is, when you see someone who is a virgin giving birth, do not think it hasn't happened again. Okay. I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. Huh? Oh, dear Lord. Okay. So, there are things in Scripture that the devil has tried to corrupt and make them look null and void. So the virgin birth, for example, is a very powerful thing that happened in Scripture. And throughout history, we know, ideally from what you know, there's only one woman who did not lay with a man and gave birth to a child. No other woman, as far as we know, can claim that. Eh? Now, what the devil does is that to kill the potency of that particular miracle, he comes up with test tube babies. Comes up with test tube babies, babies born from labs, baby from, to kill the power of this particular miracle. To kill the power of the resurrection, men are busy trying to transfer consciousness to machines. You get what I'm saying? Yes. So that it has nothing to do with living forever. Living forever for what? I can live forever in a machine. So the enemy tries to kill the most powerful things in Scripture by using modern ways. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Yeah? So all those fall within a certain doctrine of the devil or on his demons. Then there is a doctrine of Christ. There is a powerful scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, I hear the Lord say verse 6. Start from verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, say amen. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised up us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit with him together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, amongst the depth of the doctrine of Christ is the understanding that Christ is not just a person, he's a realm. That's why there can be heavenly places in him. Okay? You're getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So let me give you an example. We live on earth. On earth, there are realms. There's the realm of the United Kingdom, the realm of Uganda, all those are specific realms. In the same way, in the spirit, there's one spiritual realm, but various realms within it. You're with me? Yeah. Now, there are realms that are in Christ. Yeah. Then there are realms that are outside Christ. Praise the Lord, eh? Now, when a man, the Bible says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Any man trying to contact the spiritual realm, absent of Christ, enters another realm. And usually what will happen is that if you step into the spiritual realm through sorcery, divination, or witchcraft, something is deposited in you. There's a darkness deposited in you. There's an addiction deposited. There's something deposited. All right? It's different from the realms that are in Christ Jesus. Now, the spirit realm in general has treasures, but nothing compared to the treasures that are in Christ. You with me? Just like you are a realm yourself. Your spirit is a realm. The Bible says you are in Jesus and Jesus is in you. Oh my God. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what the Lord, because today is point of contact, and I want to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I believe in the supernatural. I believe in the supernatural. I believe that the Bible, whether the book or the gadget that you have in your hands that has a Bible in it, I believe that the Bible is a gateway. I believe that the scriptures inside the Bible, if you position yourself the right way, one scripture can be a gateway that can change everything around your life. One scripture. I believe in prosperity, spiritual prosperity, not just physical. I believe the prosperity of the entire human being, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Praise the Lord. I believe that there was a war that started here, ancient times before we ever came into existence. There's a war that started, and that war has been going on since. And that war, at the very center of that war, is your soul. Okay? And that the battleground is earth. I believe that the universe is beyond measure, beyond what you can even imagine. It's huge. But even in the size of the universe, man is the center of it. Okay? I believe that the Christian man is the center of earth. But man in general is the center of the universe. And one day I'll teach on that. I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe that there is no such thing as an incurable disease. Amen. I believe that a man filled by the Holy Spirit with the ability to heal can lay hands on something that is incurable and instantly a thing is gone. I believe the lame can walk. I believe the blind can see. I believe the deaf can hear. I believe that we are not alone on this earth. Now, there's a scripture that says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "And lo, I will be with you even unto the end of the age." Okay? But generally, now, the natural world says that you are not alone on this earth because in the universe, maybe there are aliens somewhere. That's not the place I'm coming from. I'm saying I believe that even in this universe, we are not alone. But what people call aliens are demonic entities. We'll touch that some other day. And that I believe that when you wake up in the morning to go to work or to go to school, when you go to sleep at night, I believe that you have an unseen guest. I believe that they are constant listeners to conversations. I believe it with all my heart, and at many, many occasions I've seen it. I believe that a man, if he knows how to control his spirit man, can travel anywhere he wants and leave his body behind. I believe it. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, but not just dead people. It doesn't say dead people. It says dead. Anything that is dead can resurrect. I believe it. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. I believe any wall can be brought down. Any mountain can be flattened. Any road can be straightened. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that even though the Bible says in Timothy that God is invisible, He's only invisible in our realm. If you entered the spirit realm, you'd see Him seated upon a throne. Amen. I believe it. With all my heart, I believe it. And I believe that you and I, the human being, is more capable of things that your mind cannot fathom. That's why you must desire to venture into the spirit. There's something much bigger than that boyfriend that you're hoping proposes to you. That job that you pray you'll get. That sickness that you hope will be healed. If you would learn to venture into the spirit and have a personal encounter, you'd be shocked at the things that you're capable of. I believe it with all my heart because I've done some of these things and I'm still venturing in. Praise the living God. Yeah. I believe it with all of my heart, with all of my entire being. I believe in angels. I believe in angels. Every major religion on the face of this earth, every major religion, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, call it what you will, believes in invisible helpers called angels. Even though the doctrines are all different, they believe in one core factor that there are people and beings out there we do not see. I believe in predestination in the sense that you did not just come randomly because mom and dad accidentally slept with each other. I believe in that what man calls a mistake, God has worked out his purposes and plans. So there is no one born of a woman who was born by accident. No one. That's the reason you need to realize that destinies can be aborted by abortion. One of the deepest and ugliest things on the face of this earth. Even when you've made a mistake, you can be a channel for a man of God. When I was still in my mother's belly, 4 months old, my mother told me, no, eh? Guys are like, now which doctrine is this? Doctrine of demons? Doctrine of... Okay, so when I was still in my mother's belly at 4 months, she was crossing a road, a road in Jinja, and she was hit by a taxi while pregnant with me. 4 months. 4 months, if I remember correctly. And she was rushed to the hospital. She was told her baby would not survive. Her story is someone came and prayed, she doesn't know who, and said, "Your child shall survive." Amen. Now, I believe in angels. I believe in supernatural encounters. The other night, a few nights back, I was on my bed. It was around 3 a.m. I had my phone, and usually I like to write notes as the Lord deposits mysteries into my heart. And as I was writing notes on my phone, all of a sudden out of the blue, because it was dark, and I like it when it's dark. Yeah? The light just, I like the spiritual light, not this one, eh? Yeah. Now, it was about 30 minutes of just meditating upon a revelation. Then all of a sudden I felt a being trying to look into my phone. Now, I kid you not, eh? So, it was an angelic being, not a demonic one, eh? Now, at first I felt it. I didn't see it. So I thought, okay, I've just felt something, eh? So I continued. Then I saw it again, but this time I saw the being. Now, the interesting thing, and one day I'll expound on this a bit more, because the interesting thing is that angels desire to look into these things. And you see, when you're getting revelation, is God is my witness. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. So I believe in angels. I believe in encounters. I believe. Do you know that in the spirit world, knowledge and consciousness, as well as awareness, are extremely important for you to capture an experience? If you want to have a spiritual encounter, if you want to have an experience with God, you must develop knowledge, consciousness, and awareness. Now, let me explain what that means. There is a natural life, and I'll get there. You remind me where I've stopped, eh? Because I've realized I have to explain this. There is a natural life that you have. When you are born, that natural life, you've been living it, and every person lives it. Along that natural life, you might not see it, but there are barriers that were not put there by God, they were put there by the enemy. Those barriers are always before your hour of visitation. Listen to me carefully. And those barriers were strategically put to stop you from entering the next level. Now, the lifting of those barriers is what you call a breakthrough. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 20. Give me the NKJV. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Now, what he's saying, David had come at a certain point in his life where the enemy had put a barrier, and then God lifted that barrier and there was a breakthrough. Listen to me carefully. The moment a barrier is lifted and you get what you call a breakthrough, you enter, I call it, the realm of testimonies. In the realm of testimonies, it's not just about you testifying. Everyone who looks at you can see there's something that has changed. You're glowing testimony. Some of you understand. You see, you've been in a situation so long that if there was a slight change financially, everyone would notice. A person has been sitting next to you in fellowship. After you give your 2K, he gives his 1K. Then one day he gives 50. Ah! I think maybe someone gave it to him. Next week, 50. Next week, 100. Ah! Then you start. You haven't yet given the testimony. Someone comes and says, what is it that has changed? Okay? That's what I call entering the realm of testimony. It's an actual place. In that place, that realm of testimony, exaltation occurs. Now, there is a natural life. That natural life has barriers and so on and so forth, like I've explained. But alongside it, everyone here, there is a spiritual life. And because you're not conscious of it, there are many things that you've gone through that you're not even aware that you've gone through. Why? Because consciousness and knowledge, awareness are so powerful for an experience. So, right here, there could be someone who was bitten by a snake, but they don't know it. God intervened. And one of the most powerful things is because you were bitten by a snake and you didn't know, it didn't affect you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Had you known that you were bitten by a snake, the effect would take its role. It would take its place. Consciousness is important for an experience. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why when there's a virus going all over the world, the enemy to spread it has to use media. All of a sudden you have a Christian who has been praying, quoting scriptures like all things are possible. What? Then they look at media and they start saying, eh, corona. Negativity spreads faster by media. Once you create awareness, it's easier for the enemy to operate. And that's why you must have trained yourself to guard your heart and guard your mind. Consciousness is extremely powerful for experiences. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you have had dreams where you went to a particular place, came back, and you thought it was a dream. But because you woke up, you had an experience, you were fighting with a demon, you fought it, you won, you wake up, and you're thinking, just a dream. And it actually happened. Now, because you're not conscious of it, it stops there. You understand? Yeah. It stops at that level. The devil can't go on. He needs you to sit down and think and say, man, the enemy is coming for me. It comes, then it manipulates and shows up in the physical. Consciousness is important for an experience. Amen. Now, that means you must learn to choose what you are conscious of. Are you with me? Yes. There was a time in 2018 when in the other room we were having fellowship, and a friend of mine who I hadn't seen for years, a lady, she was in a previous church that I was in, and she shows up for the first time, sits behind. And I'm ministering as I am. And as I'm ministering, when I finish, I those days I wouldn't just walk straight out. So at a certain point, I got her aside and I said, oh, how are you? How was the session? Then she tells me, I think I'm going mad. I ask her, why do you think you're going mad? She says, the entire time you were ministering, I saw a second person like you following you around the room. Now, I was shocked that for all, and she wasn't that spiritual, for all the spiritual people that were in the room, because I'm telling, let me tell you this, I've always known that, even now, but it's something I don't talk about until someone who hadn't even been attending the fellowship, doesn't know anything about spirituality, said, man, what's wrong with me? So there's something wrong with me, eh? And the moment you finish ministering, the person disappeared. Amen. And you see, this particular person is different from every other angel because, and all of us have them, someone who looks just like you for another day. Praise the Lord, eh? So I told you, I believe in angels. I believe in spiritual encounters. I believe that there's a, you know, the degrees of quality of life. Degrees. The quality of life that a person has if they just have money, cars, women, whatsoever, absent of God. If you get a broke Christian who's born again, his quality of life is higher. The ideal is to be both absent of the women. You know, say, Rabbi told us. Let me get for you the audio. Okay? Are you with me? So the ideal is actually to have some semblance of what Christ referred to as an abundant life here, body, soul, and spirit. Are you with me? So the degrees of quality of life, there's a high level quality of life. Now, let me explain to you something, and I have to share this because I feel the need to share a few of my encounters. Now, recently, 1 week ago, my grandmother was very sick. She had some issues. She had been in hospital for a while, 80-something years old. She's coming to the end of her life. But the way that she was going, and she was a Christian, the way that she was going or leaving this earth was in a very painful state. Very, very painful. For an old person, you don't want anyone to go through such things. Now, I go to the hospital. I'm asked, you know, her time is running out. Go and see your grandmother. So I go to the hospital. And when I enter, the first thing I feel are angels. Now, when I feel that, I know that her time is up. So unless you're going to add like 1 month really of prayer, her time is up. Yeah? So I walk into the room and anyway. So she's in a state of a coma. She's in a coma. And her eyes are closed and she can hear people but can't respond. So I waited for the room to clear. Remained three people actually. The other person was sleeping on a nearby bed. And I checked to make sure that they're asleep. Then I walk over to my grandmother, who was in a state of a coma. And I touch her. And she opens her eyes. Then I tell her, you know you're going to be fine, right? And she nods her head. That's the last interaction she had with people. All I know is that a few hours before she died, because I didn't see her again, a few hours before she dies, the last words she says are, Yesu. For someone who couldn't speak, someone who couldn't. Now, I had to bring that out. I've grown up in a very spiritual family. There's a person that I know within my family who was very, 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 very spiritual. On a Christian side. Years ago, as a child, I didn't know much about spirituality. But when I went to see him at the hospital, a few hours before he passed, he asked his three daughters who were present in the room, which one of you remembers your dreams when you go to sleep? It was a very weird question for a person in a process of death. And I remember one of my aunties put up her hand, and he kept quiet. A few hours later, he dies. That night, he shows up in her dream and says, tell the rest I'm fine. Now, there are spiritual people on this earth. That's not a person who's guessing, wondering where they're going to go. Eh? That's a person who's certain and knows that even when I'm gone, I'll find a way to come back. There's like a channel somewhere. Am I boring you? No. I need you to understand that life is very, very spiritual. And only for those who can understand exactly what is going on. When I was a young child, one of the very first spiritual experiences I had was when I was running around. We had gone somewhere. I was running around as a child. I think I was around 11, 10 years old. And I reached the side of a road. And there was a car coming. And I literally, under normal circumstances, I would have crossed and that car would have hit me. The projection was too crazy. Yeah? So, I reach the side of the road and I kid you not, a hand stops me. A hand I did not see, but I felt on my chest. I looked around, no one was there. Kept it quiet. Up to now, by the way, I've never told my parents. Huh? Had I told my mom right away, I would have received a slap first. Then let's go and figure out what this other thing was later. Praise the Lord. Eh? There are degrees of quality of life that you need to learn to experience. That around you there are a lot of things taking place. That while the enemy is planting his things, that there is a life around you that if you learn to open up, that heaven, the experience of heaven, starts on this plane. It starts on this plane. Now, John chapter 3 verse 8, I hear the Lord say, John 3 verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, the word there, Spirit, can also be wind or breath. So if we read again, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the wind. Now, let me explain something. There is a category of people that the Bible refers to, or Jesus is referring to here, as born of the wind or born of the Spirit. There are natural things that can be seen. You can see a car, you can see your neighbor, you can see the chair, you can see a book. There are natural things that can be seen. There are things in the natural that can't be seen. You don't see bacteria, you just see its effect. You hear sound, but you don't see the sound waves. Are you with me? All right? You feel a lot of love. Huh? You can't say, that's where love is, right here. You can't say. So there are natural things that are intangible. They can't be touched. They can't be seen. But you can just see their impact in the natural realm. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Then there is an invisible plane. Even in the invisible, we shall touch it someday, but even in the visible plane, there are real and unreal entities. There are entities that exist only as long as you believe in them. Okay? If you believe a ninja turtle is going to attack you at night, and as long as you believe a ninja turtle, and you believe it with all your heart, you come in your dreams, you start seeing turtle feet everywhere, everything, you know? And you see, you call your mother in, or whoever it is, you call your husband in and say, man, there's a ninja turtle who has just been here. And they'll stand and not see it, because it only exists in the realm of the person who believes in it. So in the spirit world, there are things like that. In the very sense, death falls in that category. Oh, Lord. It only exists as long as you believe in it. Oh, dear Lord. Say, are you saying we can't die? Yes, that's what the Bible says. That's what we say. Okay? Death falls in that category. Then there are beings in the spirit. We'll touch that. But they're real beings, so as whether you believe in them or not, they're there. Okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So, there's a natural world and there's an invisible world. Constantly you are being affected by both. All of them trying to get your attention. Alright? Now the scripture says, as the wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it. What this actually means is that though wind cannot be seen, it's invisible. Its effects can be felt. There is nothing physical that can stop it. If you are born of wind, that should be the same.
Amen.
Okay? That means that any physical thing that comes your way, anything in the realm of the natural, you can manipulate it and change it. And I'm not just saying by hope. You can actually do it. And that's why we need to venture into the things of the Spirit. You've waited too long for men of God to sort out your problems when you can do it yourself. I learned long ago that God can conquer through power, but he rules through authority, not power. And for you to sit on your throne, you need to have authority. So a man can be there with gifts of the Spirit, what, doing what, thing come out, has power but no authority, and so can't rule. And what you should be, because we grow in degrees of levels of authority, that you speak over a situation and it changes because you have spoken over it. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. So at what point can they send you a letter saying we're not going to accept you? You sit there and say, Rabbi, and you gave me the prophecy. At what point? Huh? At what point? You're born of wind. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Born of wind. Because when I look at some of those points of contact, okay, there's one particular common factor. It is so common in this room, eh? I say, dear Lord, anyway, let's leave it, eh? But you begin to realize that the life that you want to live is only a venturing away. These things are not hard. There's a time I had an interaction with a guy, for those who are around, I actually shared it, who was a devil worshipper, former devil worshipper. And I really love to meet such guys, eh? For my own reasons. Anyway, so I sit down with him and he tells me how he spent a lot of time meditating to enter into the spirit. And this was someone who knew nothing about the spirit realm, just got witchcraft books and just started just repeating. And he did it for 1 month, 2 months, and he said one day the presence of the room changed. Then he started to do it consistently and realized that now the presence would come quicker, until one day the presence became a being. Now, take that away from the dark world and do it in the natural, in the spirit world, in the divine. That if you are to take, let me tell you, if this scripture was all you ever meditated on, your life would change. I'm telling you, you are born of wind. Anything physical just passes through you. Anything natural the enemy has sent passes through you. You are born of wind. Those are things that I would sit on. Just sit and say, I'm born of the wind. I am born of the wind. I am born of the wind. When I meet you, I am born of the wind. When someone comes with an issue, I often meet people and sometimes I can't see anything. And in my heart, I repeat it. I am born of wind. I'm not of this earth. Constantly, constantly. And I know how to feel when I've entered the zone. Now, I've realized over time that there are things a man of God can release in your life, but if you don't agree with, he can't do anything. So it's not just about him releasing. And when I'm talking about agreeing, I'm not saying, thank you, man of God. No. That is not agreeing. I can come and say there's a supernatural thing on you, there's what thing on you. And the most common thing is in relation to relationships. Because I can speak and it's of God, but if you don't want, really, there's nothing I can do about it. So I just watch you and say, glory to God. Huh? But when it comes to other things, the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing, is established. There must be agreement in body, soul, and spirit. Not just agreement in soul. In your mind. Are you with me?
Yes.
So that means the Christian must learn that there's no such thing as God has rigged the entire spiritual system. That no one does all your homework for you. As bad as that might sound, it's true. A man of God will come by his authority, open a door, then leaves it to you. Sometimes, if you're lucky enough, I'll call it luck, he'll say, I usher you into. So he has put you through the door, then leaves you. Oh my God! And so the ability to understand. So what do you do on the natural? The natural, you do your part on the physical part. You do your part. If you're going to apply for a job, apply for it. Apply, 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 and don't stop until you're told to do so. That's one. Number two, you agreed with the mind, and you make sure that every thought that comes from the negative, you block it out.
Amen.
Number three, you agree by the spirit. You bring a point of contact, and what point of contact does is that it takes your faith and narrows it down to one particular, like a particular place. Puts it in one spot. Bap!
Yes.
Says, this one. And so, you don't believe naturally, just randomly, like, oh, I believe God. Do you know that non-believers have faith?
Yes.
The Bible, there are two kinds of faith. There's a faith that non-believers have, and there's the one that the faith the Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of.
Yes.
Two different kinds of faith. You narrow it down to a point of contact, put it there, and you believe with all your heart. That's a spiritual role. Okay? I can't do everything for you. No man of God can do everything for you. No man of God. And that's why I say you must learn to venture in. So, you spend most of your time, I'll tell you, I like to watch some good movies, eh? Like some nice series here and there. I'm specific with my series. Eh? There's a man of God I was with, he told me, man, may I just like to see people dying, blood. Say, man of God! I hope in heaven there are movies like that. Praise the Lord. And let me, you know, it has reminded me of a time A few years back, I won't tell you when, a few years back, I had captured this dominion message and the spiritual man and the ability that we have. And so I was going from place to place wherever I was invited to minister. And so I went to this particular house and I sat down with this group of people and I began to minister and tell them about the spiritual life and tell them how we have dominion over all things and how can a lion chase you and you run? You know those things, huh? And I go to the restroom and I see a wasp. Then they just hear, "Ah!" So everyone comes running and they find the man of God, dominion, eh? And you know, they stood there with those faces of, "Ee, man of God." The wife got a cloth and just did like this and guided the wasp out of the house. The same, and the reason is because sometime when I was younger, I had a bad experience with a wasp. Eh? Bad one hit me around here somewhere. From that day, I had an issue with those things. And that's the first time I learned that we are tested right after our messages. Oh my God. Right after the message. And God makes sure the people are still around. That was the last time I preached to those guys. Eh? Haven't seen them since, by the way. Praise the Lord. Eh? So, there is a life that is affecting you. You are being guided and nothing. You should never take things for granted. There are things happening all around you that you don't pay close attention to. And sometimes, there was a day, I was seated with someone just here at Silver Springs. And the person came and sat down. And there was a being who came and stood right next. But there's no way I was going to tell this person. Because the conversation would end right there. Eh? You understand? So the entire time, I was listening but not listening. Because I was trying to figure out, why are you here? And it has happened, well, that time it happened the first time, but it happens a lot. Eh? I just don't tell many of you. And so later I began to realize what it was. Eh? Anyway, for another day. So there is a lot. I began, like when the Lord was growing me, he began to teach me that you need to tap into these different degrees of the quality of life that is available for you. I now know what posture I need to have for a certain amount of money to come. I now know it. Eh? And it's now just about increasing it. Right? I now know it. So there was a time when I would, you know, when you've entered a certain realm financially and you think, what if this thing ends? Guys are saying, "Oh my God, to say what?" And then for you at the back, you're like, "Mananga, I pray this thing does not end." So what you do, the moment you've tapped into it financially, you don't know when it's ending, you go, you vibe, you do what? Eh? Just so that they can say yes at the right time and all those things, just because you're fearing, what if this thing does not work out? No. There was a time like that. After some time, I began to realize the postures and the mechanisms of the spirit. That's when I began to make statements like, "Surely, I'll never be broke again."
Amen.
As my father is. Huh? Praise the living God. Eh? There are things out there that are shaping your life. But if you spend a lot of time focusing on the natural, you're going to miss it. You see, I often look at people whose life has been turned upside down and they've been in a place for too long. Eh? And when, as a minister, let me tell you something. Along your path in life, God rigs it with men of God. By men, I'm even putting there that there's no gender there. So he rigs it. I'll call it rigging it. Now, sometimes there are multiple, sometimes it's just one. Now, God raises up, when he's raising up men and women of God, he raises them up in different ways. There are those who are raised within an institution with rules and regulations, and they grow up to know God within the institution, like Samuel. Grown up within a church setting, and he grows up from there, and God raises him up from there. The thing with that is that He's brought up amongst Christians. People who know God, who may love God, who know the rules of God, and so they know him. The second category of men of God are men of God who are not raised necessarily within an institution. They are raised by a spiritual father. Elisha is an example. You haven't been within an institution, but a man came and deposited something in you. And then you grew. And those can be either within an institution or outside it. The last category are the men God raises in the wilderness. They have no spiritual father, not been in an institution, no one knows them. And God usually does that when he's starting something fresh and new. When the old chaps have camped there too long. And so when these guys come, often you'll hear the statement, "Where did you come from? Where did you come from?" And they come to offend. We have examples in scripture. Elijah, Moses, and John the Baptist. All came from a wilderness experience. And God says, "What is here, what I want to start, it can't be found in there. So come." Then God plants. Now, I need to give you advice here. You need to know where your men of God fall. Because one day I'll touch on these realms of anointings. You need to know where he falls, and you need to know the anointing that is upon the man of God. Because there's no such thing as general anointing. So, me, the anointing that is on me does everything. There is no such thing as a general anointing. So you need to know, once you know what is upon a man, you can know what situation to go to, or who to go to when you have a particular situation. A man has an anointing on him for healing, okay? And you're going to him because you have poverty issues. And he prays and lays hands on you and speaks, broke. And he tells you the money. And say, "But is he a man of God?" No, he is a man of God. But he hasn't entered a realm that can allow him to share. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you must learn what God has put upon certain men. And I'm not just talking about giftings. I'm even talking about the anointings that flow to give solutions. Yesterday, there's a gentleman who had looked for me for a while, since last year. And I sent him a message. Must have been like 6 months. Actually, he sent me a Facebook inbox. "Man of God, you told me last year in March that in a few days I'll get in touch. It's been 8 months. I just wanted to know." Man of God. Anyway, so the Lord tells me, the Lord brings him before me, like he often does for many of you, and tells me, "There's this gentleman, get in touch with him." So I tell him, you come see me. So he comes and he sits and tells me, I'm going through this. He comes with the posture of receiving a prophetic word. I don't give him one. Because what he needs is instruction and guidance, not prophecy. Because his problem was there were too many prophecies that had not come to pass. So if I add another one, I'm just going to be weighing him down. You understand? So what he needed was instruction. And I was explaining to him that the scriptures say, he who comes to a prophet in the name of a prophet, who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet? A prophet's reward. Then he receives a man, a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives. And so the principle is that if you come to me as a teacher, you receive my most profound gift. My most profound. And when I say as a teacher, I'm not saying, come and say, "Kat, I've come for you to teach me." Because I know some of you have. Come, I want private lessons. I told him, go get an audio. I'm not here for private lessons. When I say come to me as a teacher, come with a posture knowing that you're going to receive divine direction. Not prophecies and a bonus. And so sometimes, unless I get a direct intervention from God, if you come with a posture of prophecy, it's all I'll give you. You're done? You're done. Thank you. We're not mean. You're the one who set a posture. I learned that the hard way when there was a person who came to me years ago and sat down, and I began to try to direct them, and I said, man, what I need is a prophetic word. So from that day, I learned that way. It's like going to a prophet and looking for direction. Huh? Teach me this. What does this scripture mean? You say, well, what do I do? He just says, it is well. You die in your trouble. You just die. You're like, man, nange. And so there are things that I'm trying to learn. I'm learning them on a certain level where when someone approaches, everything they have in their head disappears. I'm learning it. So that we can reduce on the amount of time we spend with people. Come on. I don't know. I had things to say, but who if they go on and say, yeah. I'm telling you my secrets. Anyway. There is a spiritual life. There's a quality life. Remember that you are born of the wind. Remember that there is nothing on the natural realm, in the natural realm, that can stop you from getting where you have to. If there's spoken wealth over you, the thing hangs over you. It is, the thing is there. You go singing songs. I'm rich. I'm loaded. I'm rich. I'm loaded. You say, dollars, they follow me. Let it sing in your spirit. Otherwise, stagnation was never meant to be your portion. I believe it. I know it with all my heart. And I know that the Lord has desired for us to get to a better place in the spirit. But you must learn to venture. There's a day I realized that the love of God and God as a person has the capacity to reach any man in any way. There's a guy who was a player in school. A guy called Leo. None of you know him because I can't mention his other name. Serious player. And he had victories. And he was successful in all his adventures. Now, Leo used to say, me marriage things, marriage, me I'm just a player and I'll be a player. He said S1, S2, S3, S4, S5, S6, that's all Leo is saying. Last month, I come to Zoe Fellowship and I sit behind and Leo walks in. Now he walks in, says, Daniel, it's been years. He sits next to me. Then I notice a ring. Huh? I say, Leo, you're married. Then he says, now let me tell you what happened. Well, let me tell you what happened. But what he told me was very beautiful. He told me, well, things went south with this particular lady and she got pregnant. So she gets a child. He goes to the hospital and as he's holding his daughter for the first time, he says, I felt a love I've never felt in my entire life. This is Leo, the player. He said, from that day, I put playing aside. I married the lady. Never in my life had I thought it was possible for Leo to get married. Now, the encouragement for that is that for every one of you who has family members who are far from the reach of God, they look like they're far, God's hand is not too short to reach out to them, not too short to heal. And I want you to understand that no circumstance is ever permanent. It can change. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Often the Lord will use you as the channel for change. Amen. And so that's why we need to get you, not to get money so that you can spend out and drive a hammer and you just, as you're driving, you just... You understand? That's not what I'm talking about. God wants to raise you up to a place because think about it. You have a physical body, you have a spirit, you have a soul. A human being is the only being in the universe who lives in three realms. Body, soul, and spirit. If I asked you right now, and many of you don't, but what if I told you that right now you're in a dream? You just haven't woken up? And you think, as real as it looks, and thinking, nah, I'm in reality, and you could be in a dream. There was a time, I had an experience. I was taken to what I later began to understand I don't know how, but I was taken to like the States and I sat in a fellowship and started writing notes. And I remembered I wrote down the name of a guy who was ministering, and it was real. I sat there, we talked, he gave me his number. Then I woke up. I said, no. This thing was too real. Until I looked in my book and saw the number. He's like, okay. One of the craziest things, and I don't know how I initiated it. I don't know. I've been trying to do it ever since. He's like, go to America. I haven't gone back since. Eh? But that's when I realized that the spiritual realm is the true reality. And remember I told you, you live on three realms. And so, if I ask you a question, what is more real, your body or your spirit? Now you say that, and that's the answer expected, because you know that's the answer expected. But you know it in your mind. Actually, you know it in your heart. But your mind will try to comprehend it and say, how? Yes. How is your spirit more real than your body? If your leg was amputated, the physical body would have no leg, but your spirit would still have it. Yes. You don't concurrently cut the spirit's leg as well. Eh? Are you with me?
Yes.
There are people who live only on the physical plane. Everything is physical. Scientists, for example, deduce what they can see, touch with five senses. They live strictly on the physical plane, the body. There are those who live only in the soulish realm. There are people, when you meet a madman, he's locked in an emotional prison. He's not relevant to the world in terms of body. He's locked in his own world soulish-wise. He's locked there until someone can come and release him. People in this, in Butavika, most of them locked in an emotional prison. We know that you can have pain physically, but the pain in the soul is much more painful. When someone commits suicide, they commit suicide because of a pain in the soul, not necessarily because of the physical one. That means this one, if it can lead me to killing myself, it's worse than the physical one. But then there's also a spiritual pain, which one day I'll touch on, which is worse for certain people, not for you guys. Much worse. And so if you begin to realize the actual sense, the desire of the Lord is for your ability to live on all three planes, balanced. Partly because, let me tell you something, a natural man, a man living just in the natural, when he enters the spirit realm, he's lost. What is going on? Yeah? You're thinking, angel passes. Yeah? When he enters the spirit realm, he can't understand its language because he's a natural man. Also, a spiritual man is irrelevant to the world if he does not connect with it. Because in order to interpret to the world the things of the spirit, you must use the natural. Are you getting? That's why Jesus used a lot of the natural. He says, you look at this mountain, look at this. So if you're just there locking yourself in your room, seeing spirits, you can be spiritual, but irrelevant. Totally irrelevant, by the way. And there are many who do that. Because you see, you can even have a calling of an intercessor. And you're praying, but you don't even know the direction of the move of the Spirit in a season. So you're praying out of season. Now your prayers are powerful, but out of season. So you're saying, Lord, grant our president life. Let me leave that. Let me leave it. I've left it. You know there are people interceding? Okay. And the Lord said, surely you're in your call, but out of season. I'm telling you. You will see. Praise the Lord. Eh? Rise up. You are born of the wind.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.